Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Wednesday, April 17th. On today's show, scientists invent a new material that toughens up when hit by rapid impacts, and Kevin Duke's Career and Innovation Academy offers a unique experience to health science students with the technologically advanced Anatomage table. Plus, we'll take a look at FrogWatch, a local volunteer-based citizen science program. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with an exciting development in materials science. Scientists have developed a new material that gets tougher the more it's hit or stretched. This property, known as adaptive durability, could have exciting applications in wearable tech, prosthetics, and more. For more on this, we're joined by our Simply Science correspondent. So what exactly is this new material, and how does it work?
This new material is inspired by something you might find in your kitchen pantry, cornstarch. When mixed with water, cornstarch acts like a liquid when stirred slowly, but quickly solidifies when hit or punched. The researchers used a similar principle, but with a mix of positively and negatively charged polymers. These form miniature structures that the team likens to molecular meatballs. When rapidly impacted, these structures deform and stretch, but don't break apart, making the material tougher the faster it's hit.
That's a fascinating property. What kind of applications are the researchers envisioning for this adaptive material?
The potential uses are quite diverse. The researchers propose it could be used for smartwatch bands, wearable sensors, and health monitors. These devices often need to withstand impacts and rough handling, so a material that gets tougher under stress could be ideal. Looking further ahead, they even suggest it could be 3D printed to make artificial limbs that are both flexible and durable.
It sounds like the key is this unusual combination of flexibility and toughness. How does that compare to materials typically used in these applications today?
Conventional materials often have to compromise between flexibility and durability. Soft, stretchy materials can conform well to the body for comfort, but may be prone to damage. Harder, tougher materials offer more protection, but can be rigid and uncomfortable. This new material seems to offer the best of both worlds, maintaining conductivity and getting tougher under impacts, while still being able to stretch and flex.
Very interesting. Is this material ready for commercial applications, or is more research needed?
This is still early-stage research, so more work will be needed to optimize the material and scale up production. The complex combination of polymers may make manufacturing a challenge. However, the researchers seem optimistic about the potential. As materials scientist Yu Wang put it, there are a number of potential applications, and we're excited to see where this new, unconventional property will take us. The team presented their findings at the recent American Chemical Society meeting, so we can expect to hear more as they continue to develop this intriguing new adaptive material.
Thanks for the insights on that exciting new material. In other science news, a high school in Texas is giving students a unique opportunity to study human anatomy in incredible detail. The Kevin Duke's Career and Innovation Academy recently acquired an Anatomage table, a $100,000 piece of equipment normally only found in top medical schools. Here with more details is our Simply Science correspondent. So tell us, what exactly is an Anatomage table and what can it do?
The Anatomage table is a technologically advanced tool that allows for 3D visualization and virtual dissection of real human anatomy. It's essentially a life-size touchscreen table that displays extremely high-resolution scans of real human cadavers. Students can interact with the table to explore the human body in ways that wouldn't be possible with a physical cadaver. They can target any part of the anatomy and see detailed imagery of all the underlying structures.
That sounds fascinating. How did the school acquire such a high-tech piece of equipment?
The school was able to purchase the Anatomage table through a grant. At a price tag of $100,000, this type of advanced technology is usually out of reach for high schools. But the grant has enabled the Kevin Duke's Career and Innovation Academy to give their students studying health sciences an unparalleled learning experience. Students there, especially those in the anatomy class, are getting hands-on experience with a tool used by some of the world's leading medical schools.
What are some of the advantages of using the AnatomEdge table compared to traditional cadaver-based anatomy education?
One major benefit is that the AnatomEdge table uses scans of real human bodies that were collected and digitized in extremely high resolution. The bodies are from people who donated their remains to science. Skilled technicians spent years meticulously separating out each anatomical structure from the scans to create the 3D models. This means students can see accurate real human anatomy, but without any of the downsides of using a physical cadaver, like exposure to preservation chemicals or unpleasant odors. The table also includes a library of over 1,600 real patient case studies that students can learn from.
How are the students and instructors reacting to having this unique learning tool?
The students and instructors at the Kevin Dukes Career and Innovation Academy are very excited about the opportunities the AnatomEdge table offers, especially for students interested in medical fields. Studies have shown that interacting with the table's accurate and detailed 3D models leads to better test scores and more efficient lessons compared to traditional methods. And students are more engaged with the material because of the table's interactive features and the ability to explore the human body in such an in-depth way. It's a learning experience unlike any other.
Thank you, Michael, for that fascinating look at how technology is transforming the way students learn about human anatomy. The AnatomEdge table at the Kevin Dukes Career and Innovation Academy is certainly an impressive educational tool. Speaking of innovative ways to study biology, citizen scientists are helping to monitor frog populations across the country through a program called FrogWatch USA. The program trains volunteers to identify frog calls and contribute data to a national database to track species diversity and population changes. For more on this, we're joined now by our Simply Science correspondent. So tell us, how does this FrogWatch program work?
FrogWatch USA was established back in 1998 to enlist the help of citizen scientists in monitoring frog populations. Volunteers go through a training session to learn how to identify different frog species by their unique calls. Then they commit to monitoring a location at least once a month during the February to August season. The data they collect gets added to a national database that scientists use to track things like rare and invasive species, shifts in population ranges, and changes in breeding seasons. All of this helps inform conservation efforts.
And one local chapter in Athens, Georgia, is celebrating a milestone with the program this year, right?
That's right. The Athens chapter, run by the Sandy Creek Nature Center, is marking its 10th year participating in FrogWatch. Over the past decade, their data has helped track the arrival of new frog species in the Athens area. While no invasive species threatening the local ecosystem have been detected yet, regular monitoring throughout the season helps identify any potential threats early. The presence and population health of frogs is considered an important indicator of overall wetland ecosystem health.
Why are programs like this that rely on citizen scientists so valuable for conservation efforts?
Frogs and other amphibians are facing population declines and extinction risks across the globe. Over 2,000 amphibian species are currently considered threatened, according to the FrogWatch organization. As both prey and predator in wetland food chains, disappearing frogs can be an early warning sign of broader environmental issues. But professional scientists can only cover so much ground on their own. Engaging volunteers to gather data on a wide scale helps fill in a more complete picture of what's happening with frog populations and wetland health nationwide. That enables more informed and targeted conservation actions.
What other opportunities are there for people to get involved in citizen science like this?
The Sandy Creek Nature Center also runs an Adopt-a-Stream program that similarly trains volunteers to monitor local waterway health. Many science centers, zoos, aquariums, and parks have citizen science projects looking at everything from birds to butterflies to water quality. It's a great way for people to actively contribute to scientific research and conservation while learning more about species and ecosystems in their own communities. Volunteers often say the social connections and sense of purpose are rewarding as well.
Interesting how these programs bring together both scientific and social benefits. Thanks for that report. Speaking of fascinating phenomena, in Ayodhya, India, a unique celestial event occurred today at the Ram Mandir Temple on the occasion of Ram Navami, the birthday of Lord Ram. At exactly noon, a bright ray of sunlight illuminated the forehead of the Ram Lala idol inside the temple's inner sanctum, creating what's being called a Surya Tilak. For more on the science behind this fascinating phenomenon, we turn to our correspondent. So tell us, how was this Surya Tilak effect achieved?
The Surya Tilak appearing on Ram Lala's forehead is the result of some very precise engineering and design work. The newly constructed Ram Mandir in Ayodhya features an innovative arrangement of mirrors and lenses that channel sunlight in a specific way. On the top floor of the temple, there's a mirror that initially catches the sun's rays. Three strategically placed lenses then direct that sunbeam to another mirror on the second floor. From there, one more mirror reflection guides the light into the sanctum sanctorum, where it falls on the forehead of the Ram Lala idol.
And this Surya Tilak effect is timed to happen at an exact moment each year. Is that right? What's the significance of that timing?
That's right. This event occurs precisely at noon on Ram Navami, the ninth day of the Chaitra month in the Hindu calendar, which is the birthday of Lord Ram. According to Dr. S.K. Panigrahi, a scientist at CSIR-CBRI Roorkee who was involved with the project, detailed calculations show that the date of Ram Navami repeats every 19 years. So the temple's mirrors and lenses had to be arranged to catch the sun's rays at the perfect angle as it shifts over that 19-year cycle. The planners aimed to create a tilak, or a mark on the forehead, measuring 58 millimeters on the Ram Lala idol. The full effect lasts around 3 to 3.5 minutes, with the tilak being at its brightest for about 2 minutes.
Fascinating. And what is the meaning of this Surya Tilak occurring on Ram Navami each year? Why was it important to create this effect?
Well, the Surya Tilak is highly symbolic. In the Hindu tradition, a tilak on the forehead represents a sacred blessing or a mark of great respect. So to have a tilak formed by the sun's rays on Lord Ram's birthday signifies an especially auspicious and blessed occasion. Achieving this effect at the Ram Mandir, which sits on the site believed to be Lord Ram's birthplace, holds deep religious meaning for devotees. It's a way of honoring Lord Ram and celebrating his birth through a remarkable convergence of science, architecture, and spirituality.
Thanks, Bella, for walking us through the fascinating science and symbolism behind this unique celestial occurrence at the Ram Mandir on Ram Navami, a remarkable example of how cutting-edge design can create powerful connections to ancient religious traditions. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.